Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, physicist Dr. Shane Bergen from the UCD School of Education joins me for the latest in our debunking series with answers to scientific questions that you have got in touch with us in some cases and asked us to debunk common misconceptions. This week, we have tasked Dr. Bergen with investigating commonly held ideas about space. Shane, good morning. Is there a dark side of the moon?
No. The far side of the moon might be the better way of describing it. I don't know whether Pink Floyd considered that, but I read actually that Pink Floyd, when coming up with the name for the album, was talking more about lunacy and the idea of madness more so than the astronomical idea of the moon. So maybe it was all right in the first place. The moon rotates on its own axis, just like the Earth, and it's synced with the Earth, so that we only ever see one side of it. So that's the side of the moon that we're all familiar with when we look up at night. And the first time the humans had ever seen the other side of the moon was when the Apollo mission, Apollo 8, went around the back of the moon in 1969. But it gets as much light as the side that we see. And of course, we see the moon because the sun shines on it. It illuminates it. It's a grey texture, so it's quite bright when the moon shines on it. So, no, there's no dark side.
Isn't one of the forthcoming lunar expeditions thinking about going there? Why would you want to go somewhere where you can't talk to anybody from?
Well, that's part of the challenge, is that for a long time we couldn't, because there was no direct line of sight, you couldn't send a radio signal up there. So you couldn't talk to astronauts or machines that were there. But there is great interest in visiting the moon for political reasons, indeed for mining reasons, would you believe it, to get some of these so-called critical raw materials. The Chinese launched a successful mission to the far side of the moon. The Chang'e 4 mission went there, and they are going to do a lot more of that. And it's always something that's spoken about as coming, as we're going back to the moon, but I don't know. I think a lot of it is just politics in showing that, yes, we can go there. Aren't we a great nation?
Now, speaking of politics, did the United States recently confirm that aliens exist or not?
No, they did not. So this is all about the congressional hearings that have been going on around so-called UFO cover-ups. It's always the US, isn't it, when it comes to these things? And a former US intelligence officer claimed the government is harboring intact and partially intact non-human pilots.
I think the word former might be the key line there.
But this guy, David Grush, found his buddy in Congress, a Republican, Tim Burchett, who just thought, you know, all his Christmases had come at once. And this was his opportunity to get into the weeds on what the government was concealing. And so there was a lot of debate in the Congress about this. And of course, there's a long history of conspiracy in this area in the United States, including one that I read about Pope Pius XII, who seemingly removed alien material from Mussolini's Italy in 1944 and sent it over to the good people in the United States.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Is that true, Shane?
Of course it's not true. So, but what's hard here is that rational argument doesn't make these things go away. And so this really is a great example of how we can differentiate between misinformation and disinformation. Misinformation is just I'm mistaken. Disinformation is I'm intentionally trying to deceive you, right?
Okay. But on the bigger question, do you think that they are out there? Because, you know, if you and I spoofing and taking over Claire Byrne's studio is the apex of human civilization and it has taken 4 billion years of life on Earth to get here, what are the chances of such cosmic coincidences as happened here on Earth happening on other planets and there being other similarly intelligent life?
Well, you'd be glad to hear that scientists think about this all the time, and they have done that for a while. There's the famous Drake equation, which looks at the probability of there being intelligent life outside of Earth. And they multiply lots of different factors to arrive at a number. And I think what's happened in recent years has really increased the probability of there being alien life out there. Because of the discovery of exoplanets, these are planets that are outside of our solar system. And because of advances in technology, we're able to see these now. Right? We can see planets and indeed exomoons. We can see moons of planets of other stars, which is, and they're done in the faintest way. They're little whispers of a shadow across the silhouetting across a bright star. So the likelihood in the expanse of the cosmos of there being another intelligent life existing at the same time as us. Remember, we're only intelligent for the last couple of thousand years, right? And arguably,
in a universal history of 14 billion years.
And, you know, if we keep going the way we're going, we're not probably going to be around for a huge amount longer.
Because that's the really depressing question, isn't it? That there might be intelligent life out there, but has it ever managed to make its way past the industrialization stage, past the stage of grabbing all of the resources of its planet.
And not ruining itself. Exactly. Well, we don't know. So, but there's a lot out there. There's SETI, the search for extraterrestrial intelligence. That big array of telescopes in the United States has been pointing out into the heavens for decades, and we found nothing. So, well, we keep looking.
Is the Earth closer to the sun in the summertime?
No, and this is a classic. And part of my job in UCD is to work with people who want to become science teachers. And so in that, we have to think about what's important in a science lesson. Is it just like ramming facts down students' throats? Or is it encouraging people to think critically about things that they think they know? And the classic one then is around how do seasons work, right? So I get them to build models. I put a lamp in the middle of the classroom and I give them all a football and say, I'd like you to model.
Oh, you're a fun teacher, aren't you?
They love it. And I'm giving spoilers now for my first lecture of the year. You get them to model a day, so they spin the ball, right? You get them to model a year, so they walk around the lamp in the middle of the room that's supposed to be the sun.
Do they walk in an ellipsoid or in a circle?
You see, this is the thing. They all walk in an ellipse, right? Because for some reason, we all think that the Earth goes around the sun in a pronounced ellipse. It doesn't. It's more or less circular. And so we're no closer to the sun in the summertime than we are in the winter. If that were true, it would be summertime everywhere on Earth at once. Of course, now it's seemingly it's summer here. And in Australia, it's winter, and that'll flip over. And so when students build a model, they realize, there's a flaw in what I've been thinking about. And so they have to use the model and try it in different ways to arrive at a more accurate representation. And so the reason that it's summertime now here in Ireland in July or August is that we're tilted towards the sun. So the Northern Hemisphere is tilted facing the sun. So there is truth to that old myth of there's great heat in that sun at this time of year, because it's more face on and the rays are not oblique. It's the difference between being punched head on by somebody and a glancing blow in terms of the power.
do you get students to illustrate that too? Okay. Is the Great Wall of China actually the only human-made object visible from the moon?
It's not. And again, this one has been on the go for a long time. And it's one of the first things that Chinese astronauts did when they went into space was that, you know, people were asking them, can you see the Great Wall? It's an incredibly long object, but it's not very wide. It's only about 6 meters wide. Yeah. And so
we've known this since that famous photograph, Earthrise.
Yeah.
You can barely pick out a continent. How would you pick out a wall?
Well, that's it. You can barely see land. What you see from the moon is a blue dot, right? You see this orb of cloud and water. You can barely see land. So it's estimated that the moon is also 380,000 kilometers away. So your eyesight would need to be 17,000 times better for you to see it, and you would need no clouds to be in the way. So, but there are interesting things on the moon. There's of course that classic that the moon is leaving us. That's true. The moon is leaving us at the rate of 4 centimeters a year. And we can accurately measure that because we have something on the moon called a retroreflector. It's a big mirror and we shine a laser into it. We're able to accurately tell how far the moon is away from us at any time.
Is the sun on fire?
know. So we and most science textbooks will talk about the sun being a burning ball of gas. It's not. So the sun is made of hydrogen, the lightest of elements, and it is a giant nuclear reactor. It's a fusion reactor. So it's taking small bits of hydrogen, cramming them together, and as a result of that nuclear process, a huge amount of energy is given out in the form of heat and light, and it's given out in all parts of the spectrum, not just the visible light that our eyes can see. It gives out radio waves, microwaves, the whole shebang. And my God, is it powerful. And it's been doing its thing for a couple of billion years. It's about halfway through its cycle. And eventually it'll grow and consume the inner planets. And that's where it's going.
And there is a theory doing the rounds at the moment that increased solar radiation may be in some way responsible for the weather extremes that we're seeing this summer. But I think that one has been debunked, hasn't it?
It has. And so there's been a lot of talk around variation in the sun cycle. The sun is very dynamic, and there are solar physicists, many in Ireland, who study its weather and the impacts on us here. But there is no, like, it's quite categorical at this stage that it is humans that are
affecting. It's us, folks.
It's us.
It's not somebody else. Stop pointing the finger.
Yeah. And like, there are few other sciences that are as certain of that, as certain as we are about climate change.
And finally, to end, is the Earth flat, Dr. Bergen?
It is not. And it's, when we get into these things, we talk about conspiracy theories. I'm not going to try and demonstrate that the Earth is round.
It must madden you that we're still dealing with, is the Earth flat in 2023?
What I'm curious about, and what I teach in UCD is a module on why do we think these things? They're conspiratorial.
Because we're stupid.
No, we're not. Because people have political agendas that are often at the back of these things. So you can do three things to counter conspiracy theories. You can rebut them, which is to say that's not true. You can talk about education, that's more than just giving people facts and teaching people how to think. But crucially, you can out the reasons that people come up with, not just that one, which is completely outlandish, but all of the other conspiracy theories. So you talk about why would somebody say it? What do they have to benefit by putting out this story? That's often the thing that will really counter it. What we tend to do is just bombard them with other reasons.
It's tempting to say, absolutely, get a life. but more often than not, many of these people are actually just entertaining themselves, I think.
They might be, but unfortunately, when it comes, that one is completely outlandish. But when it comes to other ones, say anti-vax or climate issues, for example, there's often a more sinister political agenda that's behind it.
Shane Bergen, thank you very much. Let's go over to the newsroom and Carla O'Brien.